Mics are on.
Just be glad it's not a poll.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be happening.
1.3 miles an hour, whatever it is, or something like that. Crazy.
Not unless I had a life jacket on.
Or a motor or something, right? I'm like, what?
I know, that's a long ways. I'm dreading the 1/3 of a mile or whatever I've got to swim.
Is it 300 yards or something? Is that what it is for you?
I thought it was 1/3 of a mile. See if it's on or off.
You're green. I don't know what that means.
We don't even have permission to turn
it. It means it's on, I guess.
You didn't let us turn it off now. Yeah, I think it's like 600 yards.
It's like out. And
yeah, so you take waist start at the dock, the boat launch, and then it's out around the buoy and back in. I don't know. I'm sure they place a buoy out there. There's no buoy out there right now.
No.
Yeah.
Have you been over there far before?
I've been to many of those races. I will not do them.
I was assured that there's kayaks out there to assist if you are in trouble on the swim. So, okay.
Maybe they can mark where the body went under. Well, this is exactly. The last place we've seen him.
All they see is my hand sinking to the bottom.
The best color to wear in the lake is bright orange or bright yellow or bright green. Excellent reports.
None of which I have.
Just even like a cap.
I don't need a cap. I'm already aerodynamic.
Because sometimes they give the class of the participant the particular cap color or whatever, right? I don't know if they're doing it over here. I've seen them do that where it was like, oh, the sprint people are whatever orange, and the ones are yellow. And
I got 30 minutes. 30 minutes to make it. I think the cutoff time answer is 30.
You'd be able to do that, right?
I hope. If I can stay afloat.
Dog paddle at it.
Yeah, that's what I'm counting on. My shoulders won't let me freestyle that whole way.
Floaty thing going on.
So I was hoping maybe I can sneak like a little.
Yeah. It's like, no, really. It's a wetsuit, so it's like.
Yeah.
I know, right?
So I don't know. Answers to wetsuits and stuff. I was like, maybe I'm going to. I just don't want to spend a bunch of money.
Wetsuits, huge difference, though, right?
Oh, because I'm buoyancy. Just really,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought I bought a little shorty, but it wasn't. It's just more of a tri suit, so it's really thin. It doesn't really help at all.
Oh, really?
It has the bike pad in it, but it doesn't have any kind of buoyancy stuff to it. I did get a bike, though, so I'm not riding the mountain bike now, Dan. I'm an actual road bike now.
Yeah,
I do have to get some pedals. Maybe get some. Because the pedals that are on it are just basic pedals. Because he took the clips off them. Because I'm like, I don't want clips. But I need to get the kind that I can hook my foot into. Like the little net over the top or little leather straps, you know? You don't want those?
Clipless, right?
Huh?
You got to go clipless. Even if you're really cheap and you go with the MTB style.
What do you mean clipless?
Clipless. So they have the little clips on the bottom and they clip into the thing?
I'm going no clips, some straight tennis shoes. With just a little cage thing over my front of my foot.
Okay.
It'll work.
Yeah. You're not
I'm not a professional.
Good. Yeah, being a professional at it. Yeah.
I just want to finish.
It's pretty hilly course though.
Huh?
It's a pretty hilly
finish.
Course.
Yeah, I know, so I have a little bit something so I can pull up on it, but Angela said her and her daughter rode it the other day. They rode the course, and it took them an hour, 12 miles. I was like, how's the traffic on 214?
Yeah,
she didn't tell. She didn't answer me, though.
I was like,
that's what I'm scared. I'm not going to ride that course until it's race day. I'm like, I don't want to really feel like getting clipped by a car.
You won't remember it.
As I'm laying in the ditch. A lot of lake discussion today.
Yeah. That's what we did for
this. Which is needed. He actually goes to my church and he had a lake day at his house that morning Sunday. So I was there. I was seeing the channel exactly what I saw right in. And that channel is like the busiest one of the busiest ones on the lake because it's the only one that connects the main part of the lake to the church lake, right? So everybody that comes out on the road, if they want to go to the main part of the lake, has to go to that channel. Anybody else, then everybody's coming back in to get their boat out, right? So people are just zooming through that channel. I mean, there's a lot of people slow down in there, but there's a lot of people that don't. They're just full throttle hammering through there. And there's kayaks and paddleboards and swimmers. And I mean, it's a dangerous little area. It definitely needs to be police at each end of it.
Where is everybody?
I don't know.
You scare them off?
I think so, yeah.
You haven't heard from anybody? Is Kelly remote again this week?
No, I didn't actually hear. Usually I hear from those guys. Yeah, there's Angela's there. Angela's just walking up.
Okay.
Right.
I thought she would be, and then I think I see.
Yeah.
Just in the nick of time. Well, I got most of the discussion upstairs, so I think I know what that discussion was about.
Hey, Kyle. Do you see where my name is? Your name?
Right there.
Oh, you're right here.
Number two.
Normal spot.
I brought snacks.
I did. I did.
Just in case.
That's the reason there's so many people.
I think it's the Dewey's public sales one.
Oh,
fine.
Okay. Oh, do you? Yeah.
Shot across the desk. How's the swing this morning?
Oh, a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bit of a struggle.
Did you? Did it? You'll probably invest in one of those.
I totally would. Yeah, I could totally give you all the tips and tricks too.
Are you swimming the whole course right now? Are you just doing a short course?
No, we're not doing the course, but we're doing the long course.
Well, true, yes.
No, I'm only going to do one. And then we go back and forth.
You're going to learn all about boating.
It's pretty rare, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now we know how to draw a crowd.
Huh?
Now we know how to draw a crowd.
We're good to go? Okay. All right, let's bring the City Council meeting for July 22nd, 2025 to order. I do want to inform the public of our disclaimer stating the City of Bonnie Lake uses machine-assisted live closed captioning, and as such, we are unable to guarantee the accuracy, reliability, or performance of this service, nor the limitations provided by this service. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Was that you?
Oh. Mayor Carter?
Here.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not trying to interrupt, but we can't hear anything on our side.
Okay, thank you. Let's...
We're trying to figure out why.
Work on that. Stand by.
Test.
Can you hear anything here? Nope.
No.
Yes. Yes. Test, 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 hello.
Test, test. Can you hear me now?
Oh, I hear you.
Oh, great.
Yes, thank you.
Good job under pressure. Thank you. All right, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mayor Carter.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Swatman.
Present.
Councilmember Baldwin.
Also present.
Councilmember Davis.
Present.
Councilmember Fullerton.
Here.
Councilmember Hubler.
Here.
Councilmember McClymans.
Present.
And Councilmember Rock.
Here.
Thank you. There are no agenda modifications. We have a discussion with public comments for the Lake Taps buoy placement and enforcement of the channel between Inlet Island and Inner Lake Island. I'll now hand the floor over to Councilmember Baldwin. Discussion.
Are we doing public comment right after this?
It's just so that you can explain what it is about and then...
Got it.
They can comment.
Okay, yes. So I'm sure you can see that it says that we are discussing some buoy placement and also enforcement of a specific channel. That channel is between Inlet Island and Inner Lake Island. And as a matter of fact, we have been able to look at some pretty nifty maps. In regards to this specific channel, the reason why it's fairly problematic is that it is a channel that actually lots of boats are coming in from different directions in order to pass through the channel. And so we have been looking at just updating, first of all, buoys in general in that particular lake. There was a plan, and I believe that plan was in 2008. I could be wrong, but I believe that's when it was. And during that specific time, there was a plan to make sure that buoys were placed in certain areas, that they were being maintained, and that just kind of fell to the wayside. And so I know that there, we have heard from multiple residents in regards to the ability to be able to place buoys, work with the police department to be able to do so, as well as the city purchasing buoys, placing buoys, working with the police department to know where they go, actually where they're located, and things like that. And so, and we had also discussed giving the public the ability to be able to place their own buoy, because a lot of times people move buoys and things like that. And so, or a buoy just disappears because someone maybe wanted to borrow the buoy, I'm not so sure. And then also within that channel, there's just been a lot of unsafe activity going on. And so right now it is considered, I want to say, 5 miles per hour currently. But really with that being said, we're looking at, we were trying to figure out what would be the best kind of enforcement where somebody, you know, because they're not going to have a speed radar to be able to even check that, and it's for it to have no wake. So we were going to change the buoys there to a no wake zone. So anyway, I'm sure the public has lots to say about that and has some additional thoughts that we'd all love to hear. And I think that's, I feel like I covered it.
Great,
yeah, for
you.
The, yeah, in general.
Councilmember Fullerton.
So is this particular moment in time a conversation for only the buoy placement, or is this public comment time?
This is public comment for buoy placement and enforcement.
Okay,
only.
And then we're going to open up
just,
to the
and
public
then, yes,
comment
Yes, there'll be
after.
Normal
okay.
comment later. Yep. And so I'll read off from the beginning those who signed up. So we'll start with Carl Kern. Okay, if you want to come on up, sir, and you'll have 5 minutes to say whatever you would like to say in regards to this issue.
Yeah, I live on, my name's Carl Kern, and I live at 6916 Bannermark Road East in Bonnie Lake on Church Lake. About 10 years ago, we moved there, and the, of course, boat traffic was a lot less than what it is today. So consequently, you know, the buoy was placed, we had a buoy out in front of our house, but the traffic there has been increasing steady. And especially with the new boats that with the higher horsepower and everything else that's going on, the we actually have, you know, jet skis that can do 70 miles an hour. You got boats that now fill with water up to 4,800 pounds, and they can reach speeds up to 55 miles an hour. Now, our inlet is 8 to 10 foot deep, and it goes across 80 feet across. So I'm here to encourage the council to approve the reinstallation of the buoy on the east side, which sunk on the 4th of July. And I'd also encourage them to see if they should put additional buoys in there to slow down the traffic, because it's creating havoc with the bulkheads, with docks, with the swimmers, with, you know, everything that's going on the lake. And anyway, that's my thought. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Jeff Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members and fellow citizens, my name is Jeff Lincoln. I live on Inlet Island on Lake Taps, and I'm a resident of Bonnie Lake. Thank you for the opportunity to give these comments to the council tonight regarding our concerns about enforcement and the adopted ordinance on boating on Lake Taps. I want to specifically thank Council Member Angela Baldwin, Chair of the Public Safety Committee, who has spent an enormous amount of her time and patience listening to us and working with city staff concerning this topic. We moved to Bonnie Lake specifically for the opportunity to reside and recreate on Lake Taps. We did our due diligence before closing on our house, including reviewing Pierce County ordinances adopted by the council, specifically 8.88 of the Pierce County Code. And the reason we did that is we lived on Lake Union, and they are very specific, and the rules on Lake Union are very closely enforced for speed, distance to shore, and so forth. The section of the code includes 51 sections covering everything from safety to speeding. Coupled with Chapter 79A.60 of the Revised Code of Washington, entitled Regulation of Recreational Vessels, the code and state laws are very comprehensive and provide a basis for a safe and enjoyable activity on all waters of the state, including Lake Taps, but only if they are reasonably abided by and enforced, neither of which are the case at Lake Taps currently. Boating and living on Lake Taps is characterized by a general disregard for and ignorance of the laws of the city, county, and state. Many boaters disregard the regulations regarding speeding close to shore, swimming areas, and nearby other boats, creating hazardous and dangerous conditions for all. Wakeboarding, skiing, and surfboarding after sunset is a common and dangerous activity and creates difficult and dangerous conditions for everyone. Jet skis are not authorized to operate after sunset, but it is entirely common. They'll be out there tonight. Sunset's before 9 o'clock. There'll be jet skis out there after 9 o'clock. It's every night. Wake boats in general, producing damaging wakes near the shore, have no concern for the extensive damage being experienced by owners of shoreline structures. Violation of the 5 miles an hour regulation after sunset is also a concern. Boats go up and down that channel between Inlet and Interlake Island well above 5 miles an hour, sometimes pulling skiers or wake boating or floaties or whatever, and they do it at all hours of the day and night over 5 miles an hour. There are boats on Lake Taps of over 1,000 horsepower. One is pretty easily identified. It has 300 horsepower Evinrude engines on it. They periodically do a full power test of these boats, and they scream right through that channel wide open. It is amazing, and it makes, for those of you that may remember the Thunder boats, the old pre-turbine engines on the hydroplanes, those noises are the kinds of noises we hear day and night on Lake Taps, more during the day from those big boats. You drown out a normal conversation if your doors are open to your house. You can't carry on a normal conversation. We are aware, those of us who live on the lake are aware, that like all municipalities in the state, you operate in an environment of scarce resources, and that boating and concerns regarding the lake are likely of lower priority than road and street traffic and crime in general. We totally get that. Nonetheless, I believe those of us who reside here should enjoy the environment, for some of us who have worked a lifetime to achieve this opportunity to live in this community. This is why we're here tonight. Thanks to the diligence of Councilmember Baldwin, we were given the opportunity to meet with her, Mayor Carter, Deputy Mayor Swatman, Chief Mark Berry, and Sergeant Rob Hogue of the Bonnie Lake Police Department. Each of these individuals has demonstrated the willingness to not only listen, but to act on our concern. I have seen Chief Berry doing his own due diligence on the boat on the Sunday after our meeting. I'm very impressed and very thankful for his active engagement in this process. While we've asked much of the city, and specifically the police department and the Marine Services Unit, when I say we, I'm speaking generally of the boating and Lake Taps resident community, we are looking for ways to contribute our time, energy, and talents to the resource we so greatly value. I am personally committed to engage with Chief Berry and Sergeant Hogue on refining the plan for the buoys, but beyond that, to us, may I have...
Finish your sentence there.
Almost there. I'm committed to forming an organization so that we can work with the police department to maintain those buoys because of those scarce resources. We don't want patrol officers having to maintain the buoys. That's something we can do. So, in conclusion, I fully support the no-wake condition of the channel between Inlet and Inner Lake Island, and I appreciate the police department, particularly the Marine Services Unit, for engaging in the asks that we have made. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Nancy Lean.
Good evening, City Council, Mayor, City Staff, and the public. My name is Nancy Lean, and I'm a resident of Bondi Lake. I live on Inlet Island on Lake Taps, and I've done that for 10 years. Our home is located just north of the channel that sits between Inlet Island and the Inner Lake Islands. During the summer months, we witness dangerous activities on the water almost every day, activities that endanger others who are trying to recreate on the lake, as well as causing ongoing property damage to docks, boat lifts, bulkheads, and shoreline. For years, my partner and I have been attending the City Council meetings, and in particular the public safety meetings, asking for help to improve safety on Lake Taps. The majority of boaters on Lake Taps know that little to no enforcement of speed or distance regulations ever takes place. Regulations that state boaters must travel no more than 5 miles per hour when they're within 200 feet of a dock or shoreline, or are 100 feet from another boat or swimmer, or after sunset, and no jet skis after sunset because they're not equipped for that. They don't have lights. Earlier this year, I requested boating-related infraction data from the Bonnie Lake Municipal Court for the years of 2019 through 2024. The data showed that for the 6-year period, only 31 infractions were issued, and the majority of those were issued for lack of no boater education card. Only one infraction was issued for speeding and traveling too close to the shore or dock. After boating accidents and injuries occurred over the 4th of July holiday, several Lake Taps residents attended the public safety committee meeting and once again asked for help. We want to recognize Councilmember Angela Baldwin for hearing our concerns and organizing a meeting to address our asks. They were, number one, additional buoy placement in the reference channel and also other areas within the Bonnie Lake jurisdiction of Lake Taps. Number two, place more emphasis on enforcement rather than education, which has been the sole focus in the past years. Number three, increase lake patrol hours. Number four, report out on the boating-related statistics, how many accidents, how many infractions, what types of things are happening when the patrols are on the lake. And number five, utilize community members to improve public education. The former speaker mentioned about buoy placement. The agenda item on the council is discussing tonight is a first step in working toward improving safety on Lake Taps. I support the proposed buoy placement and enforcement of the channel between Inlet Island and Inner Lake Island, and I thank you for allowing me to speak this evening.
Thank you. Bob Burwell is next.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak tonight. I live in the city of Bonnie Lake on that channel. I've lived there for about 11 years, and just like the others that spoke to you, it's just gotten worse and worse. I just spent 2 weeks repairing my dock. It's a pressure-treated dock, and surf boats just send these big waves in against my bulkhead, and basically push all the screws up, and then they rust off. And so I ended up spending 2 weeks with a belt sander on my knees and restaining it, flipping some boards over. But it's just constant. Just, you know, I'm here to support the buoy placement, and we really need to slow it down. Some of those big cigarette boats belong on Lake Washington, not Lake Taps. They idle down through my channel. I watch them. They go down to see if the police boat's on the lift. If it isn't, they'll sit down there and they'll wait. If it is, they turn around and they're doing 80 to 100 miles an hour right through that channel. And you got kayaks, you got swimmers, you got small boats like mine, a little fishing boat. And I went to public safety. I think some of you know 8 years ago, and all that I got was pushback, no support. A new administration is here, new police chief, and I've seen improvement just in the last couple of weeks. And that's really, really refreshing. And for those of you that have been discussing it, it's my house where a boat came in and struck my bulkhead just feet from my family, and they're getting ready to go swimming. But my wife chose that day to read a book to my 7-year-old granddaughter, or they would have been in the water and we would have had an injury in my swimming area. So I'm really passionate and hope that you guys will get these buoys. And Assistant Chief Boyle, if your guys would just keep you know, doing the enforcement thing, and we get the message out there that you need to slow down. I spent 30 years up in Enumclaw raising my family, and I moved down here as a retirement place, and I love Bonnie Lake. I go to church in Bonnie Lake in the city, and I just want a safe place for my family. And that day, I just thank God for their protection. So anyway, I support the buoys.
Thank you. Dave Morrell.
I'll hold comments to, you can have another comment period.
Yes, we will. Okay. I'll move on. Joanna Daniels.
Oh, I
did you sign on the wrong one?
Yes.
Okay. We'll move on from that. Zach Kettner.
I signed the wrong one.
Okay.
He wants to speak later.
Okay. No problem. We'll move on to Rick Miking.
Hello, thanks for your time. Appreciate all of you guys being here, all the public as well. I've lived on Inlet Island, two houses down from Bob, closer to the middle of the inlet that we're talking, or the stretch of water that we're talking about. Please understand that there's never been one buoy ever since I've lived there, since 2018, that has said 5 miles per hour. Not one time. This has not existed. Okay, so don't misunderstand to say that, oh, it is something that people know what to do, because you would have to read the rules and really understand them to know what you're doing on this lake. Okay? There is no buoy out there that's placed for this channel that says 5 miles per hour. Not now, not 5 years ago, not 8 years ago. So what we're asking for is for this law that's in the books, that's been on the books, that's been adopted by the city of Bonnie Lake for years, to be recognized and for buoys to be placed where they should be. I said it in the meeting that we had earlier with some of the council members, that there's no way, no feasible way to operate a motorboat or a motorized vehicle, in this stretch of water without being either negligent or non-compliant with the law. You can't do it. It's not wide enough, period. So we're not asking for something new to happen, except for possibly the ordinance to change from a 5 mile per hour speed limit to a no wake buoys. And on that, I would just add, I would like to add that if that ordinance is not easily able to be passed quickly, then let's go for the 5 miles per hour because that's already there. Okay, so I would love for it to work seamlessly and for the no wake zone to go in and for people to be clear about that all over this lake. But if it means waiting till next year for it to happen, then I would urge you to do the 5 miles per hour and then change it next year to no wake zones. You can have these buoys redone to say no wake zone from 5 miles per hour. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Next is, it looks like Lonnie and Lisa Dickinson. Did just one of you want to speak?
You signed up on the wrong sheet by mistake, but I will add to this comment.
Sure.
I spend a lot of time on my pontoon boat. I got a 150-horse motor. I do approximately 10 miles an hour 90% of the time you see me. I've been coming out here since I was really young, and I've always known that that was a 5 mile marker, 5 mile an hour zone, but it's pretty much completely ignored. And last night's a good example. We dropped our friend off at our house. We're coming back to our house. We're coming through the channel. I got a boat on each side coming towards me. So I centered up in the channel, and those boats came by at a fairly good rate. The boat to the left of me was now, and there's a stump in there that people who really know that, is now it's pretty close to that stump, right? They're on a wake boat, and they got a little kid in tow, and they're wakeboarding, and they're 75 feet from shore, maybe. And because I'm going slow, my boat sits up pretty tall. I hardly ever get a wave. I got flushed. Waves over the bow flushed us right out. My friends, we live in the Church Lake around the corner there. And my friends, their little dogs out on their dock. And I think I've seen it the day it happened, like last week. We're coming into the cove, and a wake boat comes right on the inside of the markers, and the wave hit their dock, and luckily he was on the one dock that goes straight back, because it picked her dog up and threw him about 5 feet, and he landed on the dock rather than in the water. But it is just very personally, I think, that if there was some heavy fines for wakeboarding too close to the shore, there's a committee when we went to the Cascade Water that talks about, they were talking about how if you're wakeboarding in less than 12 feet, you're damaging the flora on the bottom of the lake. So I personally think there needs to be places. The Church Lake thing is 12 feet deep. They shouldn't be allowed to wakeboard there. You need to be in 40, 50 feet of water. You need to be out in the middle. And if there was some, I don't know, substantial direction in that and some fines towards people who are violating this, that the word would get around and maybe some of these people would stop this. We've had a ton of damage from wake boats. I don't mind somebody having a wake boat, but when they're violating and they're too close to the shore, they're tearing our property up. They're tearing other people's property up. They rebuilt Dike 3, and they think the damage was caused by wakeboards. So, I mean, that was just kind of what I wanted to add to the thing. Thanks.
Thank you. And Lisa Dickinson, did you want to say anything on this one? No? Okay. And then I'm going to have a hard time reading this one. McCathy? Does that sound anywhere like anyone here? You want to take a look at that and see what you can make of that?
Yep.
We'll skip and come out. You can still speak after. Let's go to Barry Wilbur.
Thank you. I didn't realize I was going to say I didn't realize I had signed up, but thank you very much because I was prepared. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council Members, on this again critical area and this critical topic. I appreciate and share your concern for the safety for everyone out on the lake. By the way, separate was not in the notes, but there's been enough talk about surf boats. Wall Street Journal yesterday had an article specifically talking about lakes that are banning surf boats in certain areas because of the damage. So it's an interesting read. A couple of the accidents that you referenced in that happened in that channel, one where they crashed into the dock over here, and the other was the jet skier that had three on the jet ski and four on the tube, with one resulting in an injury. Even with on the case with the running into the dock, if you're running 90 degrees and actually running into a bulkhead, there's something seriously wrong, and I got to wonder if there's alcohol involved. And plus, as I read on the article on the Post, it appeared that that person tried to drive off. In the case with the jet skiers, four on the tube and three on the jet ski, it is actually a violation of RCW 79A.60.170, which says you must have enough space on the tow vehicle to house all of the people. So you can't just take those four people and throw them out in the tube. They have to be able to fit in the boat. So they're violating the law as it was, and there was a serious accident. The no wake buoy may help, and that would be awesome, but I don't think it's going to get to the root cause. I think the root cause is we have some fairly reckless folks that are out there that you've heard about that are causing problems. Similar to what we have seen, part of the question is, do all these folks have boaters' education cards, boaters' licenses? There's been posts that talk about kids that have probably 8 to 10 years old that are driving jet skis. That's patently illegal. They have to be at least 14 years old, and at that point they have to be supervised by somebody 16 or older with a boaters' card. So there's violations going on. Also, as pointed out, we do have jet skiers that are out there after sunset pulling tubes when it's illegal, but there's nobody out patrolling. And by the way, I'm absolutely back in the blue. Love our police department. My grandkids will go out and say hello and everything as we go. But honestly, it would be really helpful to have far more conversations, violations, something that starts to make things stick for folks. I've personally gone out and talked to kids on jet skis that were chasing waterfowl, literally splitting the group and just about running over them, finally caught up with them. I live down on Church Lake, similar to where these other folks are. Actually had to go out to Bankers Island to catch them, had a nice discussion, but when I asked, you know, it's a citable offense if you're chasing waterfowl, it was like, I had no idea, and I'm thinking, you obviously have no boater's license. Or if you've rented, then that wasn't covered, or you weren't listening, you know, so there's a problem here. And we've had the one that Kern discussed, where there was a buoy that was sunk. We had a jet skier without an observer pulling three people on a tube, looking back, watching them, hit it, and sunk it. So just putting 5-mile-an-hour buoys out there isn't going to be the solution, because these people are still violating the law as they go through. So there unfortunately needs to be some enforcement there. When I think about the 5-mile-an-hour zone, the one thing that I would ask as a slalom skier who is early in the morning, similar to what's over on the west side channels of Island 21, don't break the wake, but you can run down the island if you're going to and from your home. Because otherwise it's a small area in there, and then you'd end up having to drop a skier and idle and then jump back on and head out. And at the time when the slalom skiers are going, there's nobody. There's virtually nobody there. So, in short, the 5-mile-an-hour zone may help, but I really think, as a number of folks have commented, stepping up some enforcement, some fines, that even includes if you have somebody without a boater's license and they're using a jet ski, as an example, which is where we see most of the problems and issues. When that's happening, it's actually the person that's the registered owner that allowed them to ride on that's also liable in this situation. And I'd love to see those folks wake up and get fined as well. So we all want a safe environment. I love that you're taking time and attention on this, and thank you very, very much.
Great, thank you. Next is C. Hertzberg. I'm sorry if I...
No, that's right, Christian Hertzberg, and I actually wasn't expecting to be able to speak, but I will. So thank you all for hearing this, and thank you all for showing up and just supporting this cause. I'm an 8-year resident of Bonnie Lake, down on Lake Taps. I feel so lucky to be able to live here. I'm going to give you a little of my history, and I don't mean it because of who I think of who I am, but I grew up in New York on the South Shore of Long Island, and I've lived my whole life on the water. My high school mascot and the name of our high school team was the Baymen, because I worked on the water. That's what everybody in the town did. We eeled, we fished, we enjoyed the water. Spent 15 years of my life in the Coast Guard between Connecticut, Massachusetts, Sitka, Alaska, and then some time on the Gulf Coast down outside of Mobile. Been fortunate enough to settle in Northwest Washington and spent about 2 or 3 years on Vashon, and then 15 or 20 years out in Gig Harbor. So I love this area, and it's my home. And now Bonnie Lake's my home. Lake Taps, I feel like I have the perspective of someone who cares about boating safety, who cares about enjoying time on the water. It is one, the most enjoyable place I've ever experienced on the water. And I say that because I've lived my life on the water. Two, I've never seen a culture that is so concerning with boating safety and water safety as Lake Taps is. So thank you all for taking this time to just at least hear and understand our concerns. I spent 3 or 4 years of my time in the Coast Guard in law enforcement as a boarding officer, so I understand the city of Bonnie Lake, Assistant Chief Boyle. Do I have that correct, sir? I understand just the challenging job. I think I can empathize with what you're facing. What I see here, I guess, and I'll just be quick about it, it's a culture that we have on Bonnie Lake and on Lake Taps in particular, and the people on Inner Island, in that inlet, that's why we're here. That's the concern that specifically drew this meeting. So I empathize with you because that is the most critical part of this lake where I see safety concerns. I feel like there's a cultural challenge that we have to face, whether it's as a town or a community or a Lake Taps community, where this is a bigger problem, just enforcement or who's using the water and how they're doing it, whether it's on jet skis or in wake. My family and I live down on the south end of the lake. We love swimming. We love paddling. We love fishing. And we love tubing. And we love anchoring up and just enjoying the lake. We do all that. I've never seen some of the craziness and some of the... And I say this because I'm not judging, but there is a sense of I can do what I want on this lake and all in enjoyment and fun until someone gets hurt. And I'm sorry for kind of like, it's always funny. It's always fine until someone, you know, loses an eye or something. That's kind of where we are with this, aren't we? And in that, I guess I wanted to say thank you for hearing this, because I think this is live, this is real, this is, I come with a perspective of, I've seen some crazy things in my life, I have tended to people who have been run over by boats, I have seen what props can do to bone and flesh, it's not fun, as sir and most of you have in other ways, but I also enjoy the lake, and I want to be a partner in whatever we need to do to help move forward with the culture on the lake. And I'll just leave it at that. So what happened on Inland Island, that's not an isolated event. The buoy that was lost down on the 4th, you know, I'm the one who that did report that. It immediately changed along our shoreline. People are just 15, 20 feet off our dock every day. So I'm hoping we can come up with a way to just, it's not going to be a fix tomorrow, I understand it. But I'm willing to work with whoever and however, as a resident, as someone who cares, whatever it takes. Jeff Lincoln, thank you. All right, appreciate your help, and I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, that's everyone who has signed up. Is there anyone else who would wish to speak on this issue?
Hello.
Yep. Just want to state your name, and if you would like
to. Yes. My name is Darren Wolschlager, and
I know I'm in the minority on this, so I'm sure I'm going to get taken off the annual block party list, but bear with me here. So a little history on me. My family owns a lot on Inland Island Drive, just a couple doors down from some of our friends over here. My parents bought the lot in 1975, so I grew up on that lake. I have pictures of me as a toddler in the mid-70s out on the lake. So, and then I'm a retired Bonnie Lake police officer, and I spent 20 years as a member of the Marine Services Unit. And one of my duties as a school resource officer was I went around to all the schools, middle schools and elementary schools around the area, and taught water safety classes. So, little bit of experience, both living, being on the lake and working on the lake. So first I'd like to say is everything that they're saying is correct and accurate. There are issues that happen there. But the same things that these people are seeing are the same things that I see right around the corner. The difference is for them, you know, those that live on Inland Island, there's, what is it, 350 to 400 to Inner Lake? Is that correct? Okay. So for me, it's probably 400 yards to Snag Island, maybe. You know, so a little bit of a difference, but I see all the same things. I see wakes crashing. My dock gets damaged. Excuse me. Our bulkhead has been damaged. Jet skis, loud music at night. And so I see all those same things you do. So I think what I'm hearing here is a lot of these folks here are expressing those concerns, thinking that they're the only ones that experiencing them. They're not. I don't know how turn that into a 5-mile-an-hour wake zone is going to get rid of some of these issues. Sounds great, but you can put a speed limit sign out on State Route 410 that says 55 miles an hour. People are still going to do it. So, and I understand that, yeah, something could be done as far as education more or more police on the lake, et cetera, et cetera. We know we'd love to have the Bonnie Lake police out there more often, and we know there's reasons why there's not, whether it's money, overtime, getting officers to sign up. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, prevent the boat from being out there. These 5-mile-an-hour the no wake markers, I don't think it's going to change much. And the problem is, and I'm speaking on behalf of me and not as a member, obviously, of the Bonnie Lake Police Department, is I think it's going to put the Bonnie Lake Police Department in a really, really, really tough situation because it's going to be really, really hard for them to enforce that, okay? What does that mean? Well, if the boat's not out there, which it's not a lot, you know, we know when it's out there, hot, you know, 80, 85 degrees, Friday, Saturday, Sundays, that kind of stuff. If it's a 90-degree Tuesday and somebody's not out there and people are calling and complaining, it just puts them in a really, really, really tough situation. And again, I'm speaking as a former member of the police boat where I handled those calls. Some of these people called, and I'd go to their dock and try to talk to them about those kind of things. So that's pretty much it. Again, I know that's not a popular opinion. I'm not saying that something could be changed, but I just don't think the 5 mile, or taking it down to the no-wake zone is going to help. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to speak on this issue?
Are we speaking after them?
If you could, I'm sorry. And could you just tell us your name?
My name is Carol Miller. I live on Interlake Island. We've lived out there since 1990. So I've been on the lake a long time. Yeah, obviously there's things that happen over the years. That's been happening forever. The 5-mile-an-hour wake zone, yes, we need some buoys. I get all that. Just don't know how you can take it down to a no wake zone when a wake boat is not going fast and they're still causing a wake. So how do you put a no wake zone buoy into a section of the lake like that when they're not speeding and they're recreationing and they're causing a wake? We all agree, though, wake boats are causing a lot of damage. None of us love them, especially when they're in our area, and they should be in the main area of the lake. They don't need flat water, but they come to the flat water. So I don't understand. I don't agree with the no wake portion of it because I don't know how you could ever enforce that. And like you said, there's not enough police officers. There's not enough resources to do it. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I had one thing I forgot to say.
Real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, real quick.
Real quick. So,
Again, Darren Wolfslager. You know, one of the comments was all the stuff that go on at night and all the problems they have, and somebody had mentioned that it was people maybe not living on the lake. My opinion and my experiences is 95% of the knuckleheads that are doing knucklehead things out on Lake Taps are people that are property owners on Lake Taps. An example of somebody that said, oh, hey, there's a Sea-Doo out there at 12 o'clock at night towing a skier with no lights on. Do we really think that's somebody that drove from Kent, launched her boat out in New York Park, and is taken out? No, it's people on the lake that are committing most of these, you know, stupid acts. That being said, as far as issuing citations, and again, this is my opinion, you have to be careful, because you be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And when you throw out stats, as far as the Bonnie Lake Police only wrote 31 citations in a certain amount of time, et cetera, like I said, you have to be careful, because the last thing you want is a bunch of boat cops out there that are citing, writing a ton of tickets to people, because what happens is they end up writing tickets to the people that are living on the lake. And so it kind of works the other way. Here's an example.
All right. I'm going to catch up here. I probably should not have allowed you to come because we'll probably turn into a back and forth thing. And that was not a good move on my part. So my apologies on that. Was there anybody else who would like to speak on this particular issue? Yes, sir. Please come up. Can you just give us your name, please?
Scott Miller. I live on Inner Lake. Like my wife said, I've been 30 years on the lake, basically. You can't just throw a buoy out in the middle of the water and say, you can't do this. There's nobody there to police that. I understand you don't have the power, but you're back to the same thing as he said. Be careful what you wish for. Inlet Island, for instance, years ago, wanted to put a speed limit, put speed bumps on the lake or on their island. Everybody had a fit, didn't want to do it, and one of the main people that wanted the bumps, all three of his family got speeding tickets the same day. I mean, you got to be careful what you wish for. So it comes back to that little cut. Yeah, there's a lot of idiots on the lake. And I was a kid too, so I was probably one of them at one point in time. But I don't understand the 5-mile-an-hour thing. I ski. So you're telling me I got to drop the person, pick him back up, go slow, don't make a wake, but now I'm going slow, what does my boat do? At under 5 miles an hour, I'm making a wake. I'm not a wake surfer boat, I'm a tournament boat, it doesn't have any wake. I have to pick the guy up and now ski from the other side. Dumbest thing in the world, but if you don't have anybody to police what goes on in the lake, why are you going to make more laws? There's already a lot of stuff on the books. One guy got another boat ran over right off the point of my island. One guy was floating. The other one was drunk. Drove right over the top of each other. I'm sorry, but it's after dusk. There's a speed limit. They were all going too fast, and they were drinking. There's already laws in the books. Nobody does anything about it. So why are you going to police more stuff and put more laws out there? You can put as many buoys up on that lake as you want. They're either going to get ran over, you're going to hit them, or they're going to turn into a jet ski racetrack. It's on the books, 200 feet. It says there. I was driving down Bonnie Lake the other day. Everybody was going slow. I thought there was a kid walking in the middle of the road. Oh, no. It's a kid on an electric bike doing a wheelie head-on towards me. The catchword, was it an electric bike or was it an electric motorcycle? Nobody can understand if they can ride them on the road or not ride them on the road. He didn't have pedals, so I'd call it a motorcycle. He's coming head-on me. He's flying, driving by Allen York Park. Later, everybody lets it happen. We're worried about the lake. It's still going on in the main streets. Someone's going to get killed on the main streets just by bicycles alone, and now we're after putting a buoy up. I don't understand it. It's a waste of money. If you don't have the people to police it, you're wasting your time. And as for the tournament boats, it's not... They're the ones making the problems. The ones that are going fast, they make a wake this big. They're going fast, but they make a wake this big, barely 6 inches when they're up on top. Any boat that's going over 50 miles an hour usually is barely on top of the water. The wake boats, the tournament boats, when they're going slow, they're knocking the boards off your dock. And I'm sorry, but you're going after the wrong people. You don't have the have anybody to police it. You're wasting your time. Throw as many buoys as you want out there. All it does is turn into a racetrack. It's a waste of time. But if you write a ticket, you're going to be able to pay for it, pay for what's going on. And I understand, watch out what's coming. Remember, there was a rafting law. Everybody was getting tickets, $400, if you rafted up to another boat. The sheriff's department was writing them up like they were just basically printing them. You do not see rafting anymore. How did that, why did that happen? You can only write, only pay out so many times before your parents are going to say, I'm not paying another freaking ticket. Sorry about that. But that's kind of where it comes down to. So if you stop and write a ticket, rather than the floating by, which I see it with your guys, I see you guys floating by, and I see two jet skis jumping a wakeboard's wake. You, all you guys did was look the other way and said, good job, good jumping. So your guys didn't do the job. They had a nice day floating around, but they didn't write a ticket. They didn't even pull them over to tell them you can't do that. So I'm probably the bad guy. You think you were? I am probably the bad guy. If they don't do their job, if they're on the water, they might as well go after the guy on the bicycle. It's kind of where I'm going with that. Have a good day.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else in regards to this particular issue? Like to speak? Anything? Okay. All right. Are we doing this? Yeah, we'll do online. So is there anyone online who would like to speak to this issue? You'll probably need to turn on your camera and microphone on your end. Is it available? Yeah, okay. Or raise your hand or just go ahead and... Anybody? Okay. I'm not seeing anything. Yeah, I just want to make sure we gave everybody an opportunity if they wanted one.
Are we discussing now, or is Morrell talking? What's happening next?
I think some people wanted to speak at the regular public hearing or public meeting or public comment, if I can say it, right, which is coming right up.
Okay, but we weren't going to discuss any further or say anything else?
I don't believe that's not on the agenda currently.
Okay.
It was just to have the public be able to comment, and then if you're wanting to have it brought back for a workshop so that you guys can discuss it, I can put that on the agenda.
I mean, if I could just say something.
Councilmember Baldwin.
Okay. First of all, public, thank you so much. No matter what side of the spectrum you're on, it's really important to have these kinds of conversations. I mean, you guys are the ones that live on the lake. You guys are the ones that know and have the ideas. I totally agree with you that you can't make laws and put buoys out and there's no enforcement. That's dumb. And I totally agree with you. We have had so many conversations in regards to this. That's why we involved the police department. And I will, and so it's really like a test run. We're trying to see like what is going to work. And we are super open to hearing more if you have feedback as far as like what you think would be a good solution. We're totally open to that. I really want you guys to know we are open to that. We want to hear it. We want to engage with the public about what your ideas are. And for the council, I do want to say also that in regards to these kinds of areas, and again, I agree with you, you can't put stuff out if there's no enforcement. That's silly. It actually has to be enforced in order for culture to change. And I agree with you. I don't like the culture of it currently. I will say that for the council, just for whether you guys know this or not, and I'll try to draw kind of a picture of this, but you know, when you're looking at a channel like that, anytime that you have personal watercrafts, there's already boating regulations in place, just like they were saying, that you need to be 200 feet away from the shoreline, but really it's dock to dock. And within this channel, you'll have it sometimes even overlapping almost the entire time, you know, from dock to dock. If you were to do 200 to 200, they overlap. So really, essentially, even in just in boating regulations in general, it's supposed to be a slower no-wake zone anyway. And so just something to think about. super duper agree that, you know, we are trying to figure out like what would be the solution to get more people out there, because we don't want to gas out the police department either. And so, yeah, we know that the lake is especially difficult to try to figure out solutions. So again, we're super open to hearing those things, because you're the ones that live on the lake. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I would reiterate, same thing. We really want to hear from you. Thank you all for showing up tonight to talk about this important issue, no matter what side of you are.
Yeah.
All right. Seeing there's no public hearing, we'll now go on to citizen comments. So this is for the regular meeting. You can talk. This is your time to address the council on city business. For those attending virtually, please click the raise hand icon at the top of your screen if you would like to address the council. Anyone with the raised hand icon or who called in, your mics and cameras will be enabled. You will need to turn on your video microphones on your end if you want to be seen or heard. We'll start with those who are here in person and move to the virtual comments afterwards. You have 5 minutes when the timer goes off. That is your signal that 5 minutes is up. State your name and if you would like your address for the record, please. So I have a sheet here for those that signed up. So we'll go back to Carl Kern.
Mayor?
Yes.
Sorry, could we ask Zach to please come up first? He has to leave by 7, and he's been patiently waiting.
Okay. We'll go with Zach first. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Zach Kettner. I'm a resident of Sky Island. Thanks for letting me come share what I have going on. Here to talk about issues that I've had obtaining a permit. So that permit number is PLN 20250311. This started in January. On January 21st, a car hit my house. I just got back from vacation. Thankfully, my children were not there. I reached out to the city and asked if they would be willing to put in 20 feet of guardrail to protect my family from this happening again. On February 11th, Keith Proctor replied that they would not do it because it's a rare occurrence and does not happen enough. He suggested that I do something inside the fence. So at that point, I had to get my house repaired. That was $47,000 because the vehicle that crashed into it didn't have insurance. So I did that. And I hired a landscape company. I suggested putting rocks outside when they denied the guardrail. They told me to do something inside my fence. So hired a landscape company and a contractor to come and build a retaining wall that is under 4 feet, which wouldn't require a permit. In March, I received a stop work order from Shaylee Wilkinson. From that point, I started working with Mehdi Brazil, Lauren Beliski, and Jason Sullivan. The city told me that my property needed to go back to matching the plat map on record, which was put on record in 1995 for Sky Island. My house was built in 2021. I hired Apex Engineering in Tacoma. I got satellite images from the day the occupancy was given for my home, the day that I took ownership, proving that the plat map did not match the property that I purchased. After that, the city was then willing to allow me to build a wall, but we had certain hoops to jump through. The first one was to hire a geotechnical engineer. I did that. That was $4,000. The city then would not communicate via email with him, so they required him to come in person. That meeting cost me another $1,000. Once they got the geotech report, which was supposed to be for a critical area permit to allow me to move forward, Mehdi put in her comments, and I quote, "As I mentioned at the front counter when meeting Mr. Humphrey, who's the geotech, this evaluation is not based on today's critical area code. The evaluation of the impact to the critical area should be evaluated based on the Sky Island Division 6 plot map, as that document legally establishes the critical area. If the applicant wants to review the completed or wants the review to be completed under today's critical area code, a plat alteration would be required." I was then given two options. One was to do the plat alteration that we were trying to avoid because that's extremely expensive. The other option was to put my property back to match the 1995 plat map, which it didn't look that way when I acquired it. There's irrigation in my backyard that I would have to rip out, and I would have to bring in 4,000 to 5,000 yards of fill dirt to accommodate that. So back to the plat alteration. I paid to have a topographical map done from Apex Engineering. It was $18,000 to have the maps amended to appease the city, to go back to, or to correct the error that happened in 1995 and the way I acquired the property. I worked with Barghausen. I hired an attorney. I reached out to my title company. They ended up amending the maps for me because they realized the error. I then went back to the city today. I was told that the map from Lauren needed to match the updated vegetation buffers, which is moving the critical area off my property. I've proven with geotech reports, engineers, satellite images that the toe of the slope isn't even on my property. So I get the new map, I submit it today, and now I'm told that the map doesn't match the geotech report. Mm-hmm. The reason the map doesn't match the geotech report is because when I first submitted it, it was based on when I acquired the property and the changes that were made. It got rejected, and they asked the geotech to make the report based on what the plat map looked like in 1995. The property never looked like that. So those two things are not going to align. So I come to you today and just want you to hear this issue in hopes that other people don't have to go through this. Like, I'm out $50,000 right now for landscaping, $20,000 in reports, maps, and permits to the city, $20,000 in a tractor rental. I know that I'm out of time. So now I either have to also pay for a plat alteration permit, but I have no idea what to get because each thing I'm told to get something else. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for bringing that to our attention.
Appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go Mr. Carl Kern.
Boy, I thought I had problems.
Yeah.
I just want to know where I submit a written letter. It says today.
Submit a written letter. I would say give it to the clerk right over here.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Next one was Zach, but he just went. For Chris, first, I'm sorry, you're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, you're good?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Dave Morrell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name's Dave Morrell. I'm the county council person for District 1, and I have the privilege of having lake taps in my district. And this time of the year, I know the phone's always gonna ring. So 2 years ago, we put together a defunct voters advisory commission. They were tasked with a force to update all the codes on Pierce County lakes. And so they spent 2 years going through every code. Some of those members are in the room and they know the task that they were given. And the comment that you made pertaining to rafting, if you remember 18 years ago, rafting was the problem on Lake Taps. And the council at that time, under council member Sean Bunny, made enforcement the number one issue. And I can't remember how many citations they wrote, but it was in the tens of thousands of dollars. The issue went away. Not fully, because people know when they see law enforcement, throw the ropes off and disband. They're aware that there is no more rafting on Lake Taps in the county portion. I assume the Bonnie Lake portion. And I just want to say I appreciate the partnership that we have with the city of Bonnie Lake and Chief Berry. But what we're doing is we have gone through an entire overlook of all the codes on our lakes. In Pierce County, we have multitudes of lakes. So it's not just Lake Taps. So the Voters Advisory Commission came back with five recommendations, and we will be discussing that at the council. It's everything from clarification, because the technology of boating has changed, wake boating, wake surfing, is brand new. And we don't want to get to the point where we ban that type of technology like they're doing in Wisconsin and Michigan and some other jurisdictions. But we have to be able to self-police and inform the public as to the problem that these boats do produce when they're closer than 200 feet to a shoreline. So we'll be going through that, and I'd love to, you know, I know that I've got an open communication with Chief Barry and the Marine Service Unit. We'll be going through that, but as Councilmember Baldwin said, without enforcement, we could pass all the laws in the world, and we're just not going to get anywhere. Our challenge at the county is probably no different than the city. We operate solely off overtime. Our deputies run solely on overtime. And, you know, we are challenged right now with staffing issues like any other jurisdiction. And so the Marine Service Unit is not exempt from that. But we will be working to clarify. We will be working on enforcement, we'll be working on signage, and we'll be working on funding for our Marine Patrol units. So with that, I'm more than willing to exchange information. And there again, usually what happens is what Pierce County updates and passes code, Bonnie Lake is usually not far behind because we share an imaginary line in the middle of this lake. And Lake Taps is the biggest lake, freshwater lake, in Pierce County. It's very attractive from the North Taps Park for King County residents to come in. But whoever said, commented pertaining to a lot of the issues are caused by the residents that live on the lake. And we see that over and over again. We had a challenge with short-term rentals on the lake where there would be incredibly dangerous parties that would happen. And so we've discussed with Seattle Boat as far as their rentals go. They're now aware of it. And so they've been really good partnerships. Working with the county to make sure that this doesn't happen any further. But I appreciate the discussion. I appreciate the citizens that came out. I know it's an issue, and you know, it'll be an issue long after I leave this office. But we will do what we need to do to update our codes to the new wake surfing technology out there. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate the relationship with Pierce County and with you, and thank you so much for being here and listening to the citizens as they were able to talk to us. Next we'll go on to Joanna Daniels. You signed up? No?
I signed the wrong sheet.
Okay. Lonnie Dickinson.
Yeah, yes, signed multiples.
Okay. Lisa, did you want to say anything? Nope. Okay. Very good. Is there anyone else who would like to comment? No? Okay. We'll now start those that are virtual. You have 5 minutes. State your name and, if you would like, your address for the record, please. Looks like Adam Gregorich. Hopefully I said that
yes,
right.
Yes, please. Thank you very much. My name is Adam Gregorich. I live at 4425 185th Street Avenue East, Lake Taps. I'm on the Boaters Advisory Commission that Councilmember Morrell referred to. And I just kind of wanted to say that my understanding is on the agenda was going to be, and I apologize because I just arrived at the meeting virtually, discussion about the lake and securing it. And the channel between the county and Bonnie Lake is inherently, as someone that lives and boats on the lake regularly, one of the most dangerous spots on the lake. And anything that you could do to enforce the current county regulations regarding wakes and speed in that channel would go a long way to safety. I've just seen many crazy, dangerous things with boater behavior, and then just the waves get so bad through there that there's people that have a hard time controlling their boat. So again, anything that you could do to mitigate that would be a service to anyone on the lake, both Pierce and Bonnie Lake residents and just other people recreating. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to speak? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. All right, the city will now disable all video microphones for those attending virtually. And this is where I'll tell you attendees, we're going to get into business style for this city. You're welcome to stay, but if you've said what you wanted to say and you want to leave, that's totally acceptable. I know some people feel like they have to stay, and you don't. It's okay. It's kind of boring, but you're welcome to if you would like.
Except you can.
That's fair. Okay. We have no correspondence. Next is committee reports. Finance Committee, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Finance Committee met this evening, July 22nd, 5 o'clock, upstairs, second floor. All public is always welcome to attend any of these committee meetings. Our meeting consisted of approval of our minutes. We had a personnel update from Brian Sandler, the human resource manager. The administration has hired a new CSO, doing a little workforce planning effort there where they're looking forward in the possibility of using that position in other areas that may come open in the future. Kind of smart planning there. Also, of course, the kitchen over at the senior center, a couple positions open over there. They're still working with offers on those. And we have special events, extra hire working for a couple of the events out there at the park on Wednesdays where you can come and enjoy a free concert tomorrow. We also discussed a major issue looking at funding options for if the council so choose to move public works type projects forward, that there is funding available in the street CIP to do some project works to some extent. Usually there's a design effort, an engineering design contract that comes forward just to make sure the feasibility of said projects could go forth, and there is monies available for those efforts. You know, anything under like $1 million kind of effort wouldn't be too hard to come up with. There are more monies available to do projects with there, and that's what our discussion this evening.
Great, thank you. Community Development Committee, please.
Yes, community development. We met last week on July 15th at 5 p.m. on the second floor in the executive meeting room. Our next meeting will not be until August 19th, as August 5th is our canceled because of National Night Out. So we discussed AB 25-47, Ordinance D 25-47, Restricted Parking Code Update from Chief Mark Berry. This one is on the consent agenda tonight. The issue was the proposal addresses increased usage of Allen York Park and the effects on nearby residents, particularly those living off of 67th Street Court East between West Taps Highway East and 195th Avenue East. So this was at the request of residents to have restricted parking. It also suggests implementing overnight parking restrictions. In addition, additional city-owned lots outside of parks, including the Public Safety Police Building, Public Services Center, and the Senior Centers, and then also the parking area at the Public Safety Police Building will be striped and signed to ensure that it's open for use for the police department during regular business operation hours with no overnight parking. That will be on tonight's consent agenda again. AB 25-53, Motion 25-53. This was a motion to authorize the mayor to sign and begin design work. Thank you.
That's hilarious.
Let's see. Contract for to begin design work. And this is a money ask of $55,000 for design work, and it is under budget. This is for the city intends to replace pressure-reducing valve in stations number 1 and 2 located with within the concrete vaults of 166th Avenue East. Current vaults have issues including root and water intrusion, undersized capacity, and the lack of insulation valves. Piping fittings and valves inside the vault are reaching the end of their useful life and need to be replaced. They're over 60 years old. In 2021, the city built a public service center featuring a control valve within an on-site concrete vault, serving as a zone valve between 748 and 800 pressure zones. Spare conduits were installed in the vault to enable remote control and valve of the valves in the future. The proposed project aims to address these deficiencies by upgrading the infrastructure and enforcing systems reliability and flexibility. This is approved on the 2026 biennium budget, and the cost is for the total design concept. So, again, this is under budget. So that is just a motion that's also on consent agenda for tonight. And I believe that's all I have. And public is welcome to attend those CDC meetings if you like.
Thank you. Public Safety Committee, please.
The Public Safety Committee did not meet today, but we do meet on the second Tuesday of every month at 3:45. The public is absolutely welcome.
Thank you. I believe we have some other reports.
Yeah.
Councilmember Fullerton.
A lot. Okay. The CDC also met last week on July 15th at 4 p.m. For our Joint Advisory Committee, our JAC meeting. Jason just received the PowerPoint for that, and he's going to forward that to council. And if you have any questions on that JAC meeting, you can go ahead and contact Jason. This was a very long meeting. We came up with the conclusion that we did end up with some more employees that, of course, we pay 51% or 54% of that. So, and of course, we don't have any advisories or any ability to control when they hire new people. And that was a question that Councilmember McClymonts had quite a while ago before we started this, was are we going to have control over who, if you hire new employees or not? And the answer apparently is definitely not. So anyway, if you have any questions on that meeting, it was very long, and there wasn't as much information, like scraping the digestive every areas and all that. So then I had also on July 17th, I had the PCRC, which is the Pierce County Regional Council. I attended. That's a Zoom meeting at 6 p.m. It's the third Thursday of every month, and we approved our minutes. We also had an update from the Pierce County Transit. Their long-term destination goal is now been moved from 2035 to 2045. Of course, we're over budget and underfunded, and so they're looking at federal grants. They're wanting to replace a lot of the battery-operated bus, or they want to replace the gas buses with battery-operated buses, but at this point, they're running at a 20% or 30% on the natural gas buses, and they're getting rid of all of their diesel buses shortly. We also had an update from the Zoo Trek, Northwest Trek Authority report, which I thought might be interesting for council, so I went ahead and put it on my notes. But they have The Northwest track has been up in all of their visits so far this year, and apparently there's some kind of a new glass A-frame building that you can rent through Airbnb, and it's right on the property. It's called Dream Nights, and so you can look out, see the stars while you're sleeping. You can hear the animals. You can see the animals, and they're looking into doing more of these Airbnb type things, but also possibly putting up some glamping tents where you can camp, glamping tents where you can sleep out with the animals and hear the animals at night. So that is my announcements for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other reports?
Okay. No, but
Councilmember Huber?
I want to thank you, Councilmember Fulton, for the explanations that you just gave for the public to know what we have coming up on that
digesters.
This is the oh man, the sewage treatment plant.
Water treatment sewer plant.
All of that
happens. That's coming up. Coming up on our
oh my gosh, why don't I just open this stinking agenda again and the consent agenda.
Yeah,
that's it. Because that giving those explanations helps everybody to know. So then, like what you just did, helps us to not pull things off. So I really appreciate that kind of report from you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Seeing no other reports, and thank you for that great transition. We now have the consent agenda. Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, say nay. All right. We do have full council issues. Item A, Madam Clerk.
This is item A, which is AB 2549. Resolution R 2549. The council motion would be to adopt the six-year transportation improvement program for 2026 through 2031.
All right. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Councilor Baldwin.
Okay. So in looking at the six-year transportation improvement program, if you look on page 53, if you'd like to follow along with what I'm going to talk about here in just a moment, not for long, but, you know, in a more smaller way, I guess. But in talking and looking over just the priority list there, you'll see there's kind of a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 situation happening there. And I saw that the relocation of the West Taps Highway Road all the way down at number 7. If you're like, what are you talking about? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you. I am going to make a motion to move that West Taps Highway project from Priority 7 to Priority 2 and to authorize the use of ending fund balance from the street fund to start the design of the relocation of that road. And so I just want to kind of, oh.
So I want to make sure we do it right, right? So you made a motion.
No, I did not make a motion. I said I'm going to.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you for keeping
calm down, everybody. I know what I'm doing. Okay. So I'm going to read it verbatim here just to make sure we don't miss anything. But I do. Ryerson's hand is up.
That might help before you talk.
It's Ryerson. Did you want to say something?
Oh, sorry. When Councilmember Baldwin's done, I just want to make sure that if she makes the motion that it states that it's coming out of street CIP ending fund balance, not just ending fund balance.
Oh, come on.
Street. Thank you for that. CIP. If I say it wrong next time, please correct me.
Right. Thank you.
But basically, 50 years ago, it's been 50 years. So in 1971, they had an original concept plan, and that concept plan was to relocate that highway anyway, in order to increase the size of Allen York's limited beach area. And we all know that because it's limited, we've had to institute a cap on the number of residents that can even go onto that piece of property because it's so tiny. And that's on top of the safety issues that we have talked about in regards to the crossing. And so I feel pretty strongly that instead of waiting another 50 years, that we have an opportunity to be able to start moving that ball forward instead of just allowing that road to be what it is. Without really going into too much detail, I think that right now what's been happening is that there is a backup of residents. You know, when they want to try to enter that tiny little sliver of beach access, if you will. And those people are lined up on the road, right there on the side of the road along the fence. And so, anyway, I just feel like starting this process is a necessary first step in order to expand the beach area. And by the way, we have gone in circles with the police department, with the mayor, with other council members about, like, how do we fix the issue of Allen York? We just keep putting a Band-Aid and a little patch and a little... It's not working. It's not working. And we did talk through where we can get, you know, the funding to start the design of it and things like that so that it can move in a positive direction. So, again... I urge you that we should not wait another 50 years. It was in 1971. Okay, and in 2024, we just reaffirmed what was already a concept plan for Allen York when we adopted the new parks, trails, and open space plan. And so, and we all saw that. We saw the rerouting of the road, and we're like, it's a miracle. But we also said, oh, my gosh, how long is it going to take for that to happen? So... we've been problem solving, and it, and yeah, that's all I'm going to say for right now.
And back and forth, I guess. Did you want to say something, Councilmember Davis?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I do agree that we need to move that up on the priority list. I would think that jumping the priority number two of the West Taps and Church Lake intersection, which has already had a feasibility study and engineering, I think, has been allocated for that. I think it would be more feasible to move it to number three, right behind that project. So that would be my concern there with that, because that is also a very dangerous intersection, and then it also has the sidewalk that would connect Allen York Park, that would connect some of the other areas of the city. So I think that might be something we would like to keep at number two.
Okay, and then Kent Gill, did you want to? You're up there to say something, I'm guessing, right? To introduce
this. No, I just was sitting too long. And
okay.
Transportation. I'm just excited that you're reading it and looking into it. But I'm here to listen. I can talk a little bit about it. But if you want to continue on with your discussion, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Fullerton.
Yeah. This might actually end up being directed to Ken. So the West Taps Highway, putting the West Taps Highway from 7 to 2, and then we also have the West Taps Highway with the Church Lake Road. If we reroute West Taps Highway, then that's going to change the need for West Taps Highway number 2 with Church Lake Road, possibly. Would that change the need for that? Because it's, you know, if the road's rerouted and things are changed, is that going to put a different priority on Church Lake Road, or is it still going to be the same?
The question I heard you ask is that, what's the relationship? How are the projects related to each other?
Yeah.
And one is more at the intersection with Church Lake. And Councilmember Davis is right. We've done an intersection control evaluation. We've allocated some funding there. We kind of know what the solution is there. We studied it. Whereas this other solution, even though it's been on the books for many, many years, is basically a schematic drawing that's in your parks plan. And it's a beautiful schematic. I'm glad that you guys looked at it. But it needs to be vetted a little bit further. You know, you need to do a survey, you need to start getting your design to really see how it's going to fit in the space that you've got to fit it in, right? So that's kind of the difference between the two projects. They're both on West Taps Highway, ironically, and I think that's part of the confusion, but they're both independent from each other. One fixes the intersection, one fixes the issues that you're having with people standing in line where there's right next to traffic and people crossing there from the snack shack to get to the bathrooms over to the beach. Does that answer your question?
I think so. Like, I'm just trying to figure out if we changed West Taps Road, then is that going to, it won't affect what's going on with Church Lake and West Taps. So, like, if we fixed that where the park is as number two, it still isn't going to fix the problem with West Taps and Church Lake Road. So we should probably keep West Taps and Church Lake Road at number two, because it's going to take longer to do the West Taps drive around the park, because we don't have a study on that yet. But we already have the study. We already have everything set to go to move forward with number two project as it is right now. Is that...
Can I kind of, I think I can restate the question.
Yes, please.
Is there going to be any significant difference if we move the project number seven to number two or three?
Not much, but it just gives staff direction on what you want us to work on, right? So number one's the roundabout. Number two is West Taps to reroute through the park. And it's your one time of the year that you guys get to do that, to say, hey, city engineer, I want you to go work on this and go chase some funding for that. Right. Does that answer your question?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Councilmember, I got to go to Councilmember McClyman's. I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, regarding Councilmember Fulgen's question, remember that item two, or the study that Councilmember Davis referred to, was the study, the traffic study for the intersection, right? I don't think $9.5 million is being spent to improve that intersection. I think $9.5 million is being spent to tear the street up everywhere and do the gravity sewer extension and the stormwater extension. The city staff has been very efficient in going, we're going to make changes here. Let's make sure we get as much bang for our street buck as we can. And so then now we've got this big plump thing there when, you know, so the traffic at that intersection is one problem. It got coupled with other problems, right? And so that's why it's ballooned to be so big there. So keep in mind that we could always ask them, pull them apart if we get a priority problem, especially in terms of funding, right? I mean, we put them together because it seemed efficient, but, you know, that they are two separate topics in my mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Baldwin.
Yeah, I talked extensively with Jason Sullivan in regards to this list, and it was not a conversation that was taken lightly by anyone. And when we talked about the order, especially since number two is something that is, it's the placing number seven at number two will not slow down what's happening with the current number two. And so if we were to move seven to number two, it's not going to change the current number two's forward motion. What it's going to do is it's going to allow us to move forward with moving the street CIP funding so that there can be a design concept made instead of it just being pictures for it to be engineered. Yeah.
I'm going to go Councilor Dubler.
Yeah,
okay. So just to kind of make sure I'm understanding this right. So we've already allocated the project phase for engineering for 2029 for the current number two for West Taps Church Lake Road. That one says estimated phase cost is $700,000. So that one we've already allocated. Is that already part of our budget? Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about that one's budget right now. Is that correct?
That's correct, Councilmember Hubler. In your budget, your 25-26 budget, there's design funding for, let's just call it number two.
Okay.
Right. But Councilmember is right. There's no design funding in any of our budgets right now to do any work on number seven.
Okay. So this would just move it up so that we could then move design funding to the West Taps Highway, Bonnie Lake Boulevard area. So basically Allen Yard Park. Mm-hmm. And that's all it would do is just, it's not going to, because I'm West Taps Highway and Church Lake Road is a crazy intersection. We all know that. Mm-hmm. So we just make sure priorities are correct. Okay, so that That doesn't bother me as much if we're not, like, moving priority and timing of the project.
Councilmember Davis.
Well, I guess that's my question. If it's all about getting the funding out of the CIP to start the study to do number seven.
It's engineering.
The engineering phase.
Yes.
And so if it doesn't matter the order, then why would we just push it up to two and not just put it at three? Because we're already moving forward with project two. Are you saying to do the engineering and then start the project before the West Tapped Church Lakes? That's what I want to be. I'm just asking because I know you had the conversation with Jason, and I haven't had the conversation with him about it yet. So I'm just trying to get clarification on that.
Councilor Baldwin, sorry.
Yes, I wish I was Jason, and I'm not. That was his recommendation, okay. And that was through extensive conversation.
Okay.
And I asked the same thing about number two, whether it's going to stall that project or not.
And he said?
He said no. But that his recommendation is that it's moved to number two.
I think I would lean on that, I guess. If it's not really going to hinder either one, and that's the recommendation from staff, that maybe that's the way we should go. They say that for a reason. We don't necessarily know all their reasons, obviously, because we all haven't had that.
Well, he did explain.
In-depth discussion. Right, I understand.
It was very detailed.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, I completely trust that. That's what I said. I haven't had a chance to meet with him because he's been out of town. I'm meeting with him tomorrow, so I'm sure I'll get that explanation then. But I trust Councilmember Baldwin and what she's saying, so, yeah.
Okay.
Look out.
Deputy Mayor Swatman.
Yeah, no, I'm just supportive of the move, the motion, but I haven't heard the motion yet, so I haven't commented on the discussion of the motion, so I'm waiting for the motion to support the motion.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Do I do the motion now?
I think, yes, please.
All right. I'm going to read it verbatim here, except with that correction that Jerry had mentioned.
Right.
I move that the West Taps Highway project is moved up from Priority 7 to Priority 2 and to authorize the use of Street CIP ending fund balance to commence with the design of the relocation in 2025.
And a motion.
Second.
It's been a second. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Swatman.
Okay, yay. Now we can discuss why we want to move this thing. So, I've been over at the park many times, obviously, with the new, we have Tunes at Taps over there, great time over there. That's tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can go over there and enjoy the public and talk to them about different aspects and projects that they have over there. The city has a little booth over there, of course, where the public can get input on these things, and had lots of conversations, and people really see the value in changing that roadway out over there at the park. So I think that it being on the bottom of the list is not probably the correct priority in the public eyes. It needs to be moved up in my mind, so I support the motion there to move it up. Hopefully we can get it done before the end of time at some point. But for Mr. Gill, our city engineer there, do they do kind of a feasibility type aspect of it? I'd hate to go out. Is it staff's normal to go out like a full design without some kind of a feasibility type of thing? I'm looking forward to trying to get some better numbers to council so that we'll understand what the scope and possible cost is before going out to an 80% design or something like that.
Yeah, so Councilmember Swatman's got a really good question. Well, what's the cost and will it work? And the way that you do that is you first go out there and you survey it to see what you actually have, what land exactly exists. And then you take that pretty picture that's referenced in your parks plan and see if it fits. And then based on that, then that's when you start to do engineer's cost estimate.
So possibly, hopefully, we get the input from the council at some of the lower levels so we don't end up spending, $800,000 on a design that is may or may not be acceptable to the council, right? Yeah.
I think a good check-in point, once you've got some preliminary design and some preliminary numbers, would be good.
Outstanding.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion on the motion? Okay. All those in favor of the motion, as amended or whatnot, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Say nay.
This is the motion.
Just the motion, right?
That Baldwin brought up, not correct. As amended.
Correct. Oh, sorry.
Just that motion.
Thank you. Just the motion.
Yep, to move the
button. Yeah. We're good with that now, right? Okay. Any further discussion on the original motion, now as amended? Okay. All those in favor of resolution R25-49 as amended, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Okay. Pass.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next item, Madam Clerk.
This is item B, which is AB 2554, resolution R2554. The council motion would be to authorize the Bonnie Lake Municipal Court judge to sign an interagency agreement between Washington Administrative Office of the Courts and Bonnie Lake Municipal Court for reimbursement of costs related to therapeutic court between July 1st and June 30th of 2026.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Councilmember Hubler.
I just want to, Judge Daniels, do you want to talk on this? And just so that everybody knows, the public knows what this
sure.
is.
So as the council, I think, is pretty much aware, the Bonnie Lake Municipal Court has a community court, a therapeutic court, that is grant funded by the Administrative Office of the Courts. And we have been awarded $252,091 to use for the funding of the community court. And this is the agreement that, if the council approves it, will authorize the me to sign the agreement and to accept those funds so that we can continue to operate our community court. We've been doing this community court now for 4 years, and we've really been experiencing some great success. I think it's really been a really good fit for this community. We've helped a lot of people that live in this community who have managed to overcome their challenges and are now actually productive members of the community, who are actually working. They have jobs. They are paying their own rent and actually supporting their families. So I think you can all be so very proud of this community court program. And, of course, we appreciate your support. Does anybody have any questions about it?
I don't see any. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
No more discussion. All in favor of resolution R25-54, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say nay. That passes. Thank you. Next item, Madam Clerk.
This is item C, which is AB 2555, resolution R2555. The council motion would be to authorize the City of Bonnie Lake to enter a reimbursement agreement with the Bonnie Lake Municipal Courts Community Court for the fiscal year of July 2025 through June 30th of 2026.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any discussion on this one? Want to have Judge Daniels want to go ahead and explain
sure.
this one?
Sure. What this does is it creates an agreement between the community court and the City of Bonnie Lake that clearly explains to the city where the money is going and reimburses the city. It's basically our checks and balances. So that the city knows exactly where all of this community court funding is being spent, what it's being spent on, so that there's accountability.
Great. Any questions?
Any questions from anyone?
Okay. All those in favor of resolution R25-55, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. That passes. Thank you. Our next item, Madam Clerk.
This is item D, which is AB 2556, resolution R2556. The council motion would be to continue the limited term FTE of the community court case manager, step 14, on the non-representative salary schedule during the period of July 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2025.
Thank you.
Correct.
All right. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Actually, Why don't we just go ahead and have you explain this one?
Okay, so we have a community court case manager, as I think most of you are aware. Most of you have probably actually met her. And she is an integral part of the success of our community court. She's basically the mom to everybody that's in the program. She's the one that finds all of the resources within the community and helps everybody stay on track. She's the one that makes it possible for people to be successful. It's all of her efforts that are really paying off. And what this does is it's just authorizing us to continue to pay her for the next 6 months so that she'll keep doing what she's doing.
All right. Thank you. Any questions? Councilmember Hubler.
Can you explain for the general public why it's only 6 months and not for the full year, since you have the funding for the full year?
Yes, I can. It's my understanding that the City of Bonnie Lake and the City of Sumner are entering into an interlocal agreement for the Bonnie Lake Municipal Court to start handling the Sumner Municipal Court cases, and the thought is to have, well, they're going to have one judge. Instead, right now we have two judges, one for Bonnie Lake and one for Sumner, and so. That new judge, whoever it is, will be starting on January 1st of 2026. And because we don't know who the judge will be, we don't know exactly what will happen with these community courts.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from council? Okay. All in favor of resolution R25-56, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. All right, passes. Thank you. Our next item, Madam Clerk.
This is item E, which is AB 2557, resolution R2557. The council motion would be to authorize Mayor Terry Carter to sign an MOU with the Law Office of Michael E. Harbison on behalf of the City of Bonnie Lake to provide legal services to participants of the Bonnie Lake Community Court during the period of July 1st, 2025 through June 30th of 2026.
Great, thank you. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Moved and seconded. And Judge, you want to go ahead and...
Sure. So this time around with the grant funding, we were actually able to get approval from the Administrative Office of the Courts to set aside some of the funding to help offset what the City of Bonnie Lake pays for public defender services. So it's for the public defender services that are rendered to people who are participants in the community court. It's not a lot of money, but it's some money. And so it's just something that the city's not going to have to pay. So.
Great. Thank you. Councilmember Hubler.
Okay, now I have a question on this one. So if the other one for the FTE person to be the community court person, if that one's only for 6 months because there may be a judge change, is there a reason this one will go for the full year and not stop at the same time?
That's a very good point. it probably should actually be for 6 months.
That's, yeah.
Should we change it?
Since we don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah, right. We can amend it, obviously, yeah. So we can make a motion.
Just need a motion to amend it.
I motion that we amend the term to end at the end of the year, 2025.
Just December 31st?
December 31st, 2025.
Okay. Second. Yeah, I was going to say thank you. Second. And then any discussion on the motion on the change? All those in favor of changing or amending the resolution to end 12/31/2025, say aye.
Aye.
As opposed to nay. Okay, that passes. And then any other discussion on the actual resolution itself, or is that it? Okay. All those in favor of resolution R25-57 as amended, say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, say nay. All right, and that passes. Thank you.
If I could just take a minute, I'd just like to thank all of you for the support that you have given to the community court over the last 4 years. It's really been a privilege to get to work with you and with the community court participants. I just think it's a wonderful thing that the community can have something like this. And just so you know, we have the lowest recidivism rate of all the community courts in the state of Washington.
That's awesome. Yeah, great. Thank you.
Welcome. And have a good evening.
You as well. Thank you. Okay. No executive session or closed session. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Right.
Need a community vote in court.
Oh, boy. That's just an uphill battle.
I can't imagine people in boats.
Yeah.
You know why we live in the house.
And you know what?